today on Real Radio.
You and I need to make sure that we have good, godly, God-fearing, biblically-based people who care in our lives to speak truth to us, who know that in the end they'll give an answer to God for what they taught and what they did in the name of Jesus.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues his series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter, with a message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 1. You know, the Apostle Peter was, of course, a disciple of Jesus Christ who later on became the leader of the first church. Peter understood the times they were in. Christians were under the constant threat of persecution, but Peter also understood how big his God really is. And he knew in his heart that the Lord would take care of them. Now, as we begin chapter 5, we see how Peter is turning his attention toward the leaders of the churches. We know from previous verses that the church is on the run. But from the beginning, the church was meant to be a living, breathing organism with no address or structure. Even today, we are all ministers of the gospel and leaders in our own right. Real divine leadership is to serve and to be served. So today, on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that even though Peter was an old man now, he held on to the truth with even more passion and commitment than he'd ever done before. Peter knew that his faith was worth dying for, so he kept on spreading the good news of the gospel wherever he went. And now from his message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Can you imagine being deployed in a military situation and the private says something back to the sergeant? I don't like those orders. Little does he know that that came from a colonel or from a general or a brigadier general, and maybe that general got it from the Northern Command, and maybe the Northern Command got it from the president. And here's this, look, the private, they're not a private. He doesn't think that's a good idea. Are you with me? There's a command to this. There's a chain to this. And the Lord Jesus says, love my sheep, feed my sheep, take care of my sheep. And by the way, remember who he said that to? He said it to Peter. You can't help but believe it's coming out of Peter in this. And then it says the word exhort here. Look at that word that he says, the elders who are among you, I exhort. This word is strong. It's hard to say. It means to call near. So Peter's saying, I'm calling you leaders near to me, and I'm going to keep calling you. That's what it means. Parakaleo. I'm calling you near me. I got something to say to you. I'm exhorting you. Watch this. I'm telling you right now, as an elder, because we're going to see in a moment, I'm a fellow elder. I'm calling you alongside. I got something to say to you. And I'm, though your servant, I'll do anything that you need. I am Peter. But I have a strong grip on what I'm saying to you. It's hard for us to understand that. Listen, we want Christian leaders maybe really wimpy, and we can push them around and make them tell us in counseling sessions what we want to hear. Listen, it happens here, it happens everywhere. People will go to a pastor and they'll ask something about something. The pastor will give an answer, they don't like it, and so they make another appointment with another pastor. No, I'm not kidding. And then a third, fourth pastor, and then we finally find out in staff meetings, wait, you saw that person too? What are you doing? You're looking for someone to agree with your sin. Don't tell me the truth. I'll have to change. But if we watch out for your souls, we are the ones that are to say to you, lovingly but firm. You know? Think of it. Lovingly but firm. Listen, I love you, but you cannot sleep with Bubbles. She's not your wife. How dare you judge me? That was being loving and that was being firm. But people don't want to hear it. And then there are those who, of course, the Bible says, receives correction. It's with a firm hand, but a loving heart. And that word exhort is to challenge you, to scoop you up. I'd like you to remember this. I've shared this with you guys before, but to be exhorted by God, because it's a little oomph to it, you know? And it is to kind of catch it right there, you know? With the little, God never does this with his kids. He never comes over the shoulder, over the head, and down. God always deals with his kids from down across the knees, up. And when you get a little smack, exhortation from God, it always picks you up a little bit. Gets you a little bit up off the earth a little bit. And it's because of love. He does that. And then we're encouraged by God's inspiration. God will inspire your life. And I know that sounds like a Hallmark statement that maybe I'm supposed to say that. I have to tell you honestly, God knows that I'm a special needs child. I need his attention more than most people. I'm wired a certain way. I have this inability, and it's a sin, by the way. It's actually wrong. It's not easy for me to receive encouragement from people. That's not a good thing. But I'll ask God, I need you to encourage me. And God will often encourage me in a moment when I know in that moment God is inspiring my life at that moment. For me, that's fine for me. If he does that, I'm good. I don't need a pat on the back. I don't need more money. I don't need a smile. I don't need a certificate. I just want to know, God, are you using me? Was this pleasing to you? And that moment that he touches or puts his stamp, it's like, yes, it's awesome. And that's an encouragement. And he says, I who am a fellow elder, he says in verse 1, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ. This is absolutely amazing. Church family, listen, this is Peter talking. Look again, look at your Bible. I who am a fellow elder. Bible church, is it true or false? I'm asking you a question. You scared me for a minute. Peter, you know who Peter is? Peter. If Peter was the first pope, he didn't know it. Now, dear Catholic friends, don't get me wrong. I know that you're taught Peter's the pope, the first pope. You got it, but listen, you got to square something away. If Peter's the first pope, then why did he have a wife? The Bible said he had a wife. The popes are supposed to be infallible. You understand Peter would be the first one to say, not me. Peter, the guy that went from the mountaintop experiences to the valley of boo-boo. The only disciple who Jesus speaks to him and says, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter the infallible, that's not what he says of himself. He says, I'm a fellow elder. Peter had his moment to say, I'm the guy. I'm the one. You should kiss my ring. I'm the guy. No, he says, I'm just like you. And I'm a witness. Martis. It's where we get the word martyr. The word means this. It means I am bearing witness. To be a martyr is to bear witness of a truth that you will die for. Oh, young people today, I mean this with all affection. Do you have a truth in your life that is worthy of your death? Young people today, they don't have a cause. That's why they're prone to radicalism. What religion is sweeping the campus in the United States? Islam. Why? It's radical. Why do they flock to it? Because it demands submission. And young people in America are flocking to that because they want to have a sense of purpose. They want to be shackled to something. To them, it's meaningful. But that's a dead end. You want purpose. You want meaning. What about being a witness for Jesus? Absolutely amazing. To so know the truth, that truth has so set you free, that if somebody were to come up with sword or gun or bare hands, you cannot deny it. Today's Memorial Day. I would hope everybody in this room understands, yep, and we're grateful for those people. Thank God for them. If not them, me. Is what you believe in and what you have worth dying for? Is your wife worth dying for? Is your husband worth dying for? your children. Obviously, at the apex of all of that is the gospel of God. If somebody were to come to you and say, deny, you can't sin against that inspiration. He's revealed himself to you. He's a fellow elder, a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And I have to tell you, think about Peter for a moment. Now, I will do this. Allow me to do this in closing. Peter, how many disciples were there? There were 12. One was a bad guy. We know that. But you know when Jesus, everybody seems fine in the group to me, except Judas. Let's just get him out of the picture right now. Everybody seems fine in the group to me. You don't hear any trouble with anybody. But have you noticed that when you read like the book of Acts, it's predominantly, outside of Paul the Apostle, it's predominantly Peter, James, and John, right? James, not too long, because he's the first one to die. But he was a pillar in the church in Jerusalem, James. But those three guys, Peter, James, John, come over here. Remember? Oh, throughout the Gospels. Peter, James, John, come over here. And then Jesus shows them something outrageously amazing. How come not the other guys? I think the other guys were fine. I think those three guys needed it. And it worked. Because their ministry in history is epic. I like to consider myself in need like that. Jesus might say something to you and you get it. I don't get it. And then he's going to say, Jack, come over here for a minute. And then he turns on the light. But we're talking about Peter here, who says of himself, I'm a fellow elder just like the rest of you guys throughout the empire. I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And for me, that sets him out differently. Peter, who was the one that said, if all these other guys forsake you, I will never forsake you? Peter. Peter's the one. Who was the one that said, Lord, if it's you walking on the water, command me to come? Peter. Peter. You get the sense that Peter, when he told Jesus, all these other guys, you know, Jesus, I see probably what you see in these guys. They're kind of like second shelf, you know? Don't worry. I got your back. You can depend on me, Jesus. And Jesus says, Peter. He says, yes. This is an amazing moment. Peter, yes, Lord. Satan asked me if he could sift you. If that wasn't one of the most horrific moments in the Bible, I'd laugh. Because this is how I hear it. Peter, yes, Lord, heads up. Satan talked to me last night. He wants to rip you in shreds. You told him no, right? I could just see Peter just keep munching on his fish taco. All's fine. And Jesus says, no, this is what I told him, and I'll tell it to you. When you return back, strengthen your brethren. Tell them about your experience. It will encourage them. Can you imagine? Peter. Peter, who the Bible says followed Jesus. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. He sees the arrest take place. The Bible tells us that it's only Peter who follows Jesus at afar. It's never good, by the way, to follow Jesus at afar. The Bible says that when they began to judge Jesus and scrutinize him, Peter's watching. He's there. Then the Bible tells us that Jesus is taken bound and he's carted off. Herod, Pilate, Pilate, Herod. And then he's put in the courtyard of the high priest. And the Bible tells us that the Roman guards that are there, no wimpy men, began to blindfold Jesus so he can't see, and they struck him with their hands. And in English, we don't get it. We just think, oh, they struck him. It's so polite. They struck him with their hands. It doesn't sound all that bad. Well, let me tell you what the word is. It's not punch. If it would have been punch, it would have been better. You want to kill somebody? blindfold them and slap them across the head with an open-palmed hand. The word in Greek is an open-palmed hand. You want to kill somebody? Want to break their neck? You just go like this and hit them right alongside the ear. You can kill them. Jesus is getting hit like that. And when you're blindfolded, you can't tell where it's coming from. Peter's watching it. Only Peter. And then they begin to beat him. We saw that on Good Friday. Remember? They're flogging him. Peter said, I saw it. There was blood flying everywhere. There was pieces of meat going everywhere. I saw that. They put a stick in his beard and twisted it, and they put their Roman cleats on his forehead, and they pulled chunks of his beard out. I saw that. So Peter, that's what you mean by suffering, right? Oh, no, he suffered. But that's not what I mean. What do you mean that's not what you mean? You saw him get beaten. You saw him be his beard ripped out of his face. You saw him flogged with his back open. What do you mean that? Are you implying that there's more? Oh, there's more. I snuck into the courtyard and I got close enough. It was cold that night. So I was warming myself by the fire. Apparently, the light from the fire, Jesus was just a couple of feet away. Somebody came up and said, "Aren't you a Galilean? Have you been with him?" And I said, "I don't even know the man." And I heard a rooster crow in the distance. And then someone else came by and said, "Your speech betrays you. You are from the north. You're one of his disciples. I think I've seen you with him." "I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know the man, Jesus. Don't even know him." Sitting around the campfire, a campfire girl turns to Jesus, turns to Peter and says, "You are one of his disciples." And the Bible says Peter began to curse and swear and said, "I don't even know who that is." And for the third time, the rooster crowed, and the Bible says Jesus looked up and looked at Peter. Mangled, disfigured face, bleeding, swollen, turns to Peter. And the Bible says that Peter looked at Jesus, Jesus looked at Peter, and Peter ran away. Can you imagine? Peter would say, "Today I have no doubt that was the suffering of Christ for me." Let's be honest, Jesus died for the sins of the world. We get that. But did he really die for you? What about you? What about you? See, Peter can be here today and he could say, "Jack, scoot over. Let me tell these people something. I saw him suffer and he never cried once. Jesus never moaned. He never griped. He never complained. He was silent like a lamb before the shearers are silent. Never opened his mouth. But when he looked at me, he didn't have to say a thing. He looked at me and absolute rejection was on his face. I had rejected him. I had disowned him. I had cursed him. I had thrown Jesus away. I went to be their strong Peter, the rock. And I failed. I abandoned my Jesus. I ran out on him. I turned on him to save my own skin. When I saw his face, that was the suffering I'm talking about to you guys in 1 Peter 5. Absolute brokenhearted. Listen, there is a pain that transcends physical torture, friends. And you can inflict psychological torture. That's bad enough. But what would be worse than all of that is to have your heart broken because the temptation is great to lose all cause and all purpose. And Peter communicated to Jesus in his rejection, "Jesus, I have disconnected from you completely. You're a disgrace to me. I don't want anything to do with you. This didn't go the way that I expected." And Jesus looked at him with this face, pain. That's suffering. We'll get into the conclusion of this next week, but keep this in mind. When Jesus rose again from the dead, there was one name on the lips of Jesus when he rose from the dead. He told the women, "Go and tell my disciples, I have risen from the dead, and tell Peter." Wow. He knows what he's talking about, church. You and I need to make sure that we have good, godly, God-fearing, biblically based people who care in our lives to speak truth to us, who know that in the end they'll give an answer to God for what they taught and what they did in the name of Jesus. Amen? Heavenly Father, we pray and we ask of you, Lord, that you would fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit, not to jump and swing from chandeliers or speak in tongues or to raise the dead, as cool as all that would be. The greatest thing of all is your Holy Spirit's power to be in our lives, that we might love one another, that we might love you above all, that we might, Lord, follow you in holiness and in a life that is devoted to God, because you alone are awesome and worthy, the Savior, the one who beyond our wildest imaginations, there is no way we could have thought this up ourselves, that such rejects as us, you would turn around and invite us to be ministers and stewards of the mysteries of God. But then again, you're called the Redeemer. That's what redemption's all about. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. In this song that we close with, may it be, thank you, God. May the words that we sing be truth. Heavenly Father, I beg of you today, Lord, interrupt our lives with a greater reality of you, whatever that means. But Lord, for each and every one of us, invade us. And for, Lord, those who do not yet know you, we pray today that even by the conclusion of this song, they would say, I want this Jesus. I want that hope. I want that assurance. I want that confidence. I want my soul well taken care of. I want to see Jesus in heaven face to face. Forgive me of my sins. Is that your cry today, friend? Tell him. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and to change your life, to give you a brand new life. He'll do it. He's awesome. He's wonderful. He's Lord. He's our bridegroom. So church, let's stand and let's make this prayer a song and this song our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 1. Thanks for being here today. And as ministers of Christ, you know, our hope is in heaven. It's a living hope that doesn't lose its strength or fade away. Ministers, Each and Every One, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Anchored, a study in 1 Peter. It's a series that takes us through the life and times of the Apostle Peter, whose love for Jesus Christ carried him through great persecution, and whose compassion for others really does still inspire us today. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, like Peter, the one great thing about getting older is that we get to share what we've learned and experienced with others. And the more we discover about the character of God, the more our spirits are lifted and our faith grows. Peter didn't have the advantage of the New Testament of the Bible, but we literally have hundreds of resources that we can use to study God's Word for ourselves. One resource we can go to that we can trust is Pastor Jack's website, jackhibbs.com. Once you're there, you'll find Bible studies, sermons, devotions, podcasts, and so much more. It's all right there at jackhibbs.com. We hope you'll visit jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.